In complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us, that he may open up to us and into our hearts the sacred word of truth left on record for us. I will ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in the second epistle general of Peter, chapter 1. And verse 10. The second epistle general of Peter, chapter 1, and verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Dear friends, that which falls does not have a sure foundation. Jesus spoke that parable of the man who built his house upon the rock, a sure, certain, steady, steadfast foundation. He built his heavenly hopes upon it. And it never fell, in spite of all that came against it in the tempest of life and in the storm of death. The opposite was the man who built his house upon the sand. And the building in the outward form could have been exactly the same, looked identical. But when the storms came upon it, especially the storm of death, then it fell, and great was the fall of it. Peter is writing here to a certain people. He begins this chapter, or this epistle, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, that's how Peter defines himself. An apostle is one who is appointed, an appointed messenger of the gospel, an ambassador Christ has ascended to glory. He is now, they have these ambassadors whom he has appointed. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Peter was sent, wasn't he? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And the basis of that, was love to the Lord Jesus, because of Jesus' love to him. Peter was on a rock. That love and mercy shown to him by the Sea of Galilee in spite of all of his sin. And so he was exhorted to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord in his command. And so he went to serve him. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, writing now to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. He doesn't exalt himself above others in the way which the Lord hath called him to go. Not all were called to walk in the same way as Simon Peter or any of the other apostles. Their unity was in faith, precious faith. To them that have obtained like precious faith, that word, like precious, is one word in the Greek, meaning the same virtue, the same value. Oh, they were founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ, through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. What is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is, as we read in the epistle of Paul, saying that Christ Jesus made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, these to whom Simon Peter was writing were on the same foundation, the same rock, the righteousness of Christ. We have a hymn, don't we? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Oh, what a precious truth it is. And what a precious faith it is, dear friends, to believe in Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Peter goes on to say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied. Dear friends, that's the blessing, isn't it? Of faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, that grace, the riches of his grace, which is the forgiveness of our sins. And through the forgiveness of our sins, and that alone, we have peace with God. There's peace in no other. Jesus says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Oh, there's, friends, many things we have in this earthly life, which no doubt we seek for at times, for our peace and prosperity. And do us good for our bodies and help in life's pathway. But this peace being multiplied, which Peter desires for these of like precious faith, is they only grow in that grace and the knowledge of that peace. And dear friends, we grow in grace and the knowledge of the peace as we learn how great a sinners we are. Oh yes, we only add sin to our sin in our flesh, daily lives. How that should teach us. Oh, the immensity, the greatness of this grace and peace. That where our sin abounds, his grace doth much more abound. And we have peace in Christ our Saviour. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Dear friends, that word knowledge there literally means recognition. We know God. We recognise his power. We recognise Jesus our Lord in that what he has done. And how is that recognised? Through the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. And so he goes on, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Dear friends, that life, not only now, it's eternal. A life that will never fail. Oh, Christ Jesus came into the world, as he said, that thou might have life and have it more abundantly. And that effect, dear friends, will be godliness within us. The fear of the Lord, to walk in his ways, determined to do all things to his honour and glory, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, to him that hath called us. How did he call you? As we had on the Lord's day, Christ Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's the call we need, isn't it? That's the vital call, out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light. Oh, dear friends, that call has an effect. For those whom he hath foreknown, chosen in Christ before the foreday foundation of the world, them he hath predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those whom he hath predestinated, them he also called. That call by grace, which puts within them by the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, faith. And dear friends, that faith opens the eyes to behold, oh, the truth as it is in Jesus. To see that there is yet hope for a guilty sinner, lost and ruined in the fall. And that changes the heart, doesn't it? That renews the will. Old things pass away, all things become new. There's now a desire to know more of Christ. Called us to glory and virtue, or called by glory and virtue, as the margin says. Oh, dear friends, what Christ hath done to save sinners such as you and me. Dear friends, this is to be the object of our first desire, to know this foundation, the foundation of the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ, the knowledge of it, that we can say assuredly within, O Christ in me, the hope of glory. And through this, he says in verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. All the promises, oh, to the Lord's people upon this earth, this sin-cursed earth. Now, yea and amen, in Christ is their sure promises. And they're given to all those to believe in by faith, through Christ who hath done all things for them. Oh, we have many precious promises, don't we? That ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the effect. You see, dear friends, what Peter is saying here is the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith, which is the divine nature. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That love within us. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God, the divine nature. If we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Oh, these are solemn things, solemn truths. But dear friends, where the exercise in a sinner's heart, oh, is to know one's Jesus crucified. Dear friends, that's the teaching of the Spirit, the desire of a soul that is to be saved, and he shall come. Oh, we come here to these people to whom Simon Peter is writing, to them that have obtained my precious faith. with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, you had a worldly heart. We do by nature, don't we? We love the things of this world above all other things. It's our nature in the flesh. We cannot separate ourselves from it because our hearts lead us that way. The influence of in which we are born in sin determine that we go that way, left to ourselves. And we have to testify and confess, don't we? That's the way we go, and we'll go all our days, but for the grace of God. That revelation all within us that we are sinners, that our just desert is the damnation of our soul, and we tremble and we cry for mercy. And dear friends, that cry is heard. The Lord looks down from heaven to behold, yeah, the children of men, to hear the cry of the one that is bound, the groaning of the prisoner, and to set him free from his captivity. Escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Dear friends, we still have that corruption of the world through lust within us, don't we? But this escape is in through Christ Jesus. What he hath done to blot out all our transgression, all of our sins, and to love us freely. And that Spirit puts within us that hatred of sin, to keep from it, to endeavour to turn away from it, and to grieve, when we do stumble and fall. Therefore, dear friends, Peter puts a warning to the people. He exhorts them how they should endeavour to live. To live, to bring forth the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith in their lives, to make their calling and election sure that it is the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That it is a true work of grace. That they are the Lord's, that they have been delivered from the corruption of this world. Jesus spoke that parable, that well-known parable of the sower. The seed fell on different types of ground. And then his interpretation to his disciples is in the different types of heart. Some are hard and has no effect at all. Some is stony ground, where there is an immediate effect of hearing the word of God. But when trouble and persecution comes, there's no root in it, and they wither away. They don't bring forth any fruit. Those that was sown amongst thorns. Dear friends, maybe the thorns and thistles couldn't be seen so much to start with. Maybe it looked like relatively good ground, but the seed of the thorns and the thistles were there. And they grew up. And they choked the corn, the seed growing there into corn. And that was the cares of this world. How they smothered the growth of the good seed, and it didn't bring forth any fruit. But there was a seed sown into good ground, the prepared ground. There had been a breaking up of the fallow ground, and it took root downwards, and it bore fruit upwards, the prepared heart. There's the conviction of sin, the confession of sin, There's the broken and the contrite heart poured out before the Lord. Oh, in that cry for mercy and to be saved. And there, friends, that answer coming through the word of God, the seed of the good word of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, you may be chief. As Paul said, I am chief. But dear friends, as we have that hymn, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. Good ground. Prepared ground to bring forth the fruit of faith. Now we have several things here, what Peter says. Why did Peter say it? He wanted to keep these, dear friends, who are on the rock of the solid rock of the truth in Jesus. He wanted to keep them mindful. Not to forget, to ever endeavour to bring forth fruit to the glory of God, the fruit of faith. Paul speaks, doesn't he, or writes to the Galatians regarding the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering and so forth. Yes, and here we have the fruit of faith. What did James say? Faith without death, faith without works is dead. True faith, dear friends, there's the evidence of it in the lives that we live. Of these fruits which he defines here, he says, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Oh, how solemn, dear friends, if we like that seed, which our hearts are like that stony ground or full of thorns and thistles and choke the word and we forget. And forget that sacred truth to save our souls. And we go in the ways of this world, like Paul wrote, didn't he, of one who said, it had left him, having loved this present world. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure that it's real. And dear friends, that's the way we conduct ourselves in these lives. That we're resting on the rock, Jesus Christ. And we live to be servants, servants of him, to serve him in spirit and in truth, worship him, seeking all things to his honour and glory, and that to abound one with another. Oh, dear friends, there's much teaching here, isn't there, in these epistles. When we look at what Peter says here, add to your faith virtue. Now that word virtue here means strength. To be strong in the faith. In the Strong's Concordance, the natural meaning of this word virtue here is manliness. Manliness, which in an outward form is strong, bold, steadfast in that which is right. In the faith, nothing wavering. To live by faith, trusting in the Lord, virtue. And that to your virtue. Knowledge. Well, we've had knowledge in the previous virtues. But this is a different word, knowledge. It's not recognition. It's the word in Greek which really means awareness, mindful. mindful of all things which is going on, sin and evil, a good and gracious. Know how to divide between the two. Knowledge between good and evil. And knowledge concerning all things. All the power of Satan. The evil of this world. A knowledge of the things of the church and of the people, the Lord's people, knowing concerning them, not to separate oneself and live unto oneself, but to know the needs of others, knowledge, awareness. And in that awareness and knowledge of all things, good, evil, and what are the needs in the various circumstances of life, a temperance, a self-control. Oh, how easily we can be tempted, or to go to extreme, or serve ourselves in preference to obedience to the word and this working, this living through knowledge, and we live to ourselves, but we need self-control, that we trust in the Lord at all times. We look to Him. We do not neglect those prayers. Or to pray without ceasing, as the scripture says. Oh, how easily we can go our own way. No, we want self-control to keep us. What does the Apostle Paul say? He had to keep himself under control, for he was tempted to sin, lest he should at the end be a castaway. Oh, that sinful nature is still within us, doesn't it? How we have to be mindful of us and keep ourselves under control, that we do not bring dishonour and disgrace upon the truth, as poor David did when he gave way, didn't he, to the lusts of his flesh, when he saw that woman washing herself. To knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. Dear friends, when things do not go as we perhaps would desire them to go, yes, self-control. We don't go off and try to put things all right ourselves as if we have the power. No. Patience, dear friends, comes very much in conjunction with prayer. Committing it unto the Lord. Waiting, watching for His answers. Waiting patiently for Him. It's trust, isn't it? That's the exercise of faith, is patience. One of the precious fruits of faith. Believing that the Lord's ways are right. The Lord's times in which we are living. Our times are in His hand. And although there are many things which can torment us, shall I say that, and bring us very low. Oh, we're to commit it unto Him still. Trust in Him at all times. Him to be a refuge. Patience. And to patience, godliness. Well, dear friends, where these previous ones go, are we not in the fear of the Lord? Godliness is walking, isn't it, in the fear of the Lord. We fear the Lord because, oh, we are unworthy of the least of His mercies. And we fear that He will cast us away. And godliness is reverence. Reverence to Holy God. And in reverence to Holy God, dear friends, we humble. Oh, we don't lift ourselves up above others. We're in humble dependence upon the Lord's hand, whether it appears to us to be good or evil. Oh, poor Job. Dear friends, he had great trial, didn't he? But his faith was maintained. And oh, what godliness there was when he said, "He performeth the thing that's appointed for me. Many such things are with him." Oh, he would trust in him, he said, though he kill me. It doesn't mean to say he was like that at all times, no. But that faith never gave way, he never completely lost it, did he? That which God hath given you, this faith to believe, dear friends, it will ever be there. And it will be exercised, the Lord will exercise it within you in the time of your need. And that godliness, brotherly kindness. Well, dear friends, that comes together, wasn't it, with knowing and being aware of the needs of others. And not to live to ourselves. Or when we work, the scripture says we work and earn our living, that we may also be able to give to those that have need. John is very bold, isn't he, when he says, "If thy brother hath need, and you have the by you, you have the means to give it, and you do not, then how dwelleth the love of God in you?" There's no rock foundation there, is there, in evidence? Let us not love in word only, the scripture says, but also in deed. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Yes, that's loving indeed. In the practical necessities to provide them where one can for love's sake. Oh, dear friends, what a list there is here of the fruit of faith. How it should exercise us daily, how we conduct ourselves. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, dear friends, do we do these things? How far short we come, don't we? Again and again and again. Dear friends, mixed with all these things is the dependence, isn't it, upon the grace. The grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is to be our endeavour to do these things. It's to be our aim, our goal, as we might say, to do these things. To live in accordance with these exhortations. And to realise, dear friends, when we come short, oh, there is yet forgiveness. In the shed blood of Christ, who knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust. You know, dear friends, we often fail in times of troubles, don't we, of our own. We give ourselves over to our own intellect, our own desires, our own ways, the desires of our own hearts. But dear friends, those who are built are founded upon the rock Christ Jesus. We read what Paul says, tribulation worketh patience. Not the ease and pleasures of this earthly life, but tribulations. If we have all everything smooth and easy, dear friends, as soon as anything goes wrong, we shall grumble and repine like the children of Israel did coming out of Egypt and rebel. But where we're built by faith upon this rock Christ Jesus, that he is our all and in all, and we look beyond the things of time to the things that are eternal. Oh, that shed blood of Christ is precious. And we seek to walk in love as Christ hath loved us, to do all things in love. And, dear friends, tribulations will work patience. be committed to the Lord in prayer. We have to watch and wait for his deliverance. And patience, experience. Experience of these precious promises Peter is speaking of, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. He won't leave his people. He won't let them fall. None can ever pluck them out of his hand. He has redeemed them. He's called them by his name. All these precious promises. And one has to watch and wait, patience. And that patience brings that experience. Experience of faith in the trust. Oh, that the Lord will appear. And the Lord will work those things together for good. And therefore there's hope. Experience brings forth hope. Dear friends, that hope is also faith, isn't it? A fruit of faith. And not a hope of, well, doubting hope, but an expectation. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. The time will come when you'll know the Lord's deliverance, having called upon him in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, there's a promise. And thou shalt glorify me, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost given to you. There's the rock, the love of God, the gift of his Son, that redeeming love. Oh, that nothing can separate you from it. And dear friends, as we seek to rest and trust in that love, then, oh, he will help us. He will help us and strengthen us by faith to live our lives to the honour and glory of his name, a true witness, to be strengthened in the time of difficulties and troubles, and not to fall, not to fall. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Make your calling and election sure. Well, dear friends, what fruit do we bring forth to show that we are the Lord's? Is there a witness, as there was with Peter and John, when they went before the Sanhedrin and these priests? They took note, although they were physically unlearned the doctrines which they, the priests and the Sanhedrin, exalted themselves. They took note that they'd been with Jesus. Well, dear friends, let us press toward the mark. This is what it is, isn't it? As Paul says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Not through our merit, not through our endeavours of achievements. We shan't get to heaven based on doing these things. These things are the evidence. Evidence of that rock upon which we are founded, of hope of eternal life. The rock, Christ Jesus. And our hope, as I've said, is built on nothing less than his blood and righteousness. And that redeeming love, dear friends, it fills our hearts. And Jesus is precious, because he's redeemed us with that blood, not with silver and gold. He has confirmed that we are his and he is ours. And so, dear friends, we look beyond the things of time to the things that are eternal, pressing towards that mark. The prize of the high calling of God. And in all our pathway here upon this life, whatever comes upon us. I tried to preach the other last week from that word in Psalm 55. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And that word burden there in the Hebrew means lot. Cast your lot upon the Lord. The lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing is of the Lord. Cast it all upon him. And that word cast is a strong word of cast, to throw. Be determined to put it upon the Lord. And he will sustain you. He will sustain you. O Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained thy precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The called, the elect, the election of grace. Oh, dear friends, there's your hope. There's your eternal life. Then may we live unto him, seeking all his glory. Why me, why me? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Then, dear friends, if we know such love, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, walk in love as he has loved you. Amen.